Kia ora and welcome to Amron's Podcast, episode 263. Today is Friday, September 16, 2011. Well, it's September 16th here in New Zealand. In the Americas, it's still Thursday the 15th. Now, normally that would just be kind of a curiosity, except that the 16th is the start of Pride 48, the podcasting extravaganza, this year coming from Las Vegas, which I'm going to talk about a bit more at the end of this episode. But, of course, in real terms, no matter how you slice it, it's tomorrow, because that's where it is. It's actually in Las Vegas, so obviously American time matters. But it's just kind of funny that for me, it's just an ordinary Friday. And it won't be an ordinary Friday for my podcasting buddies back in the US of A. But that's for later. Today's main topic, and the reason for the title of this episode, Outside Looking In, is kind of in response to a recent episode of Vera Speaks for Real, a podcast by Auntie Vera Charles, where I was mentioned by name, actually. And it's a subject that I think that expats or people who would be expats ought to be aware of. And it's not something that you normally read about in guidebooks or whatever about people who are going to become an expat. So I thought I would talk about that today. And then I also have more on the preposition thing. And hopefully I will get to all of that today and have a chance to finish this before too long. But first, a little bit about the news. The big news story in New Zealand is, of course, the Rugby World Cup. The opening match and opening ceremonies were a week ago tonight, and the opening ceremonies were superb, among the best I've ever seen. It was clearly designed for television, which was fine for me since we were watching it on television, but there were major problems. The waterfront, Auckland's waterfront, was overcrowded. And there were transportation issues. There were trains that didn't run properly. About 2,000 ticket holders didn't make it to the opening ceremonies for all or part of them. And there are a lot of issues that are going to have to be addressed. There are a lot of questions that are going to have to be answered, which is why I'm a little bit vague about this. But one of the upshots, and this is there's no way of escaping that it's political, this whole issue, because the central government used their special powers granted under the legislation that was passed for the Rugby World Cup to seize control of Auckland's waterfront. And it's the second time that they've seized all or part of a local government. And so I'm going to be coming back to this subject in the future, but right now, quite frankly, it's just a little bit too confused to talk about with any clarity. So I'll just leave it there for now. As I said, the opening ceremonies were really great. The opening match was pretty good, too. Between New Zealand and Tonga. And the only other match I've seen so far was last night. I watched the second match for the USA Eagles. I watched the Eagles take on Russia, and they beat them 10-3 or 13-3. I've forgotten what the final score was. I'm not that attentive of a fan. But it was a reasonably good game. The reason I equivocate a little bit is because the USA is ranked 18th in the world in world rugby. There's 20 teams in the World Cup, and Russia is ranked 19. The only team that's beneath them both is Namibia. And there's a definite difference in the quality of the rugby that the lower teams play as opposed to the ones at the top end of the table, New Zealand and South Africa and Australia and UK, France, countries like that. And it's not to disparage anything about the USA team. It's just that they're not on that level just yet. But, I mean, it's all relative, isn't it? Because they're still among the 20 best teams in the world, and there are plenty of other countries that do have rugby teams that didn't make it to the World Cup. So, it's all swings and roundabouts and stuff. It's that time of day when they bark. I really should record at a different time. Anyway, that's a whole other issue in itself. So that's what we've been up to, watching a bit of that. And I'll probably watch some more matches before this is all over because it goes on until October. It's a long series. But the main topic today is about the podcast by Vera Charles. Now, Vera Charles is a nom du pad, a stage name for a very talented voice actor who does a podcast called Vera Speaks for Real. And in a recent episode, he talked about an incident that came up via Twitter. And it had to do with another podcaster whose name is Madge Weinstein. That's another nom du pad, and he does a podcast called Yeast Radio that I frankly don't listen to. I did years ago, but I stopped a long, long time ago. And they used to do another podcast together. And Madge used to live in Chicago, and has recently moved to Paris. And so he's an expat like me. And he would often tweet things from a leftist political perspective, and as I have done. And Vera found that suddenly, although he had up until that point often very much agreed with the things that Madge was tweeting, suddenly felt a little less connected, I guess. And the difference was that we, me and Madge, live outside the U.S. And there is this kind of irrational sort of reaction of, how dare you criticize my country? Even though the criticisms themselves could be perfectly valid. Now, he was mostly talking about Madge because I actually haven't commented on anything in U.S. politics in weeks. And I haven't done much on my blog either, actually, which is a story in itself, one I'll actually be addressing on my blog. And by the way, my blog had its 5th anniversary this week. But back to the topic. Now, I was originally thinking about playing the clip in question here on my podcast. It's, I think, even if I edit it down a little bit, it's about 5 minutes or something, 7 minutes, whatever. Because I think, you know, it would put it in context and also give you a flavor of what Vera's show is like, except that it really doesn't. To understand the segment, you really need to understand its place in the entire show. And I was concerned that anyone hearing that and only that might get a somewhat distorted view of what Vera is like. And Vera Speaks is one of my favorite podcasts. It's one of the few that I stay current with. So I don't want anybody to get the wrong impression. I would much rather, if anything, if you do want to hear what I'm talking about, go and listen to the whole damn thing, not just a little snippet. So I'm not going to include the quote. But basically what it amounts to is, as I said, sort of a negative reaction to me or Madge tweeting criticisms of the U.S. And he related it to what I thought was a very interesting story, namely that when he was a kid, there were times when he hated one of his family members. And it was okay for him, he said, to call his family members assholes, but it wasn't okay for anybody else to do it. And an example would be, you know, he's telling a friend about something that his mother did. And if the friend said, yeah, that was a really awful thing to do, your mother's an asshole, his reaction would be, how, don't talk about my family that way. And it's the same kind of reaction about the U.S. And it's one of those kind of irrational, sort of almost purely emotional responses that I think most of us at some point or other have experienced, because, I mean, let's face it, most people are basically tribal, and we don't like to hear our tribe badmouthed, even if we think they're right. And so he was kind of struggling with this thing and kind of just sharing basically how it just struck him as odd. And the reason I wanted to talk about it here wasn't just because I was mentioned, but also because I think it's the sort of topic, the sort of thing that expats or would-be expats should be aware of, that when you move overseas, the folks back home may not be too keen on the idea of you criticizing the homeland because you don't live there. Now, that is usually the main thing. People think that because you don't live there, you have no right to criticize. However, there are some people who feel that the issue is that you're not paying taxes in the homeland. Because normally an expat doesn't pay taxes to the homeland, they only pay it to the country they're living in. And a temporary, someone who's, say, posted to overseas by the company they work for is probably paying taxes to their homeland and not to the country they're living in. Well, when you're living overseas permanently, long-term or permanently, you pay taxes where you live, not where you're from. And you're able to do that by a tax treaty. The United States and New Zealand, for instance, have a tax treaty so that you don't have double taxation. So you're not taxed twice on the same income, which is fair enough and eminently reasonable. But there are people who feel that if you're not paying taxes, you've got no right to criticize. Now, I don't agree with that. And the reason I don't agree with that is that as an American citizen, and Vera was a little confused about that, I am an American citizen and a New Zealand citizen. I'm what's called a dual national. So as an American citizen, it is my right to criticize the government at any time. Nobody has to listen to me. They certainly don't have to agree with me, but I nevertheless have the right to express my opinion. And it is my birthright as an American, and also, obviously, like most Americans, I have family members who either served in uniform or even died to preserve those same rights. And it in my opinion, it would be an insult to those ancestors for me to not express my opinion, even though some of those ancestors might not agree with me either. That's not the point. So that's the first thing for me, is that it's my right and responsibility as an American citizen to be aware of what the government is doing and to criticize it when it's wrong. And also, I should praise it when it does something right, but frankly, I haven't had a whole lot of reason to do that, at least not in recent years. So that's one aspect. I got a similar comment from somebody else a while back. It might have been for the 2008 elections. I can't remember exactly, but it was about elections. And this person asked me why I was commenting and criticizing or whatever the election when I don't live in the U.S. And I was taken a bit aback. And I responded that, well, I'm an American citizen and I'm registered to vote. I'm going to be voting. Oh, well, that's okay then, the person said. So apparently in that case, I think it was more that the person felt that those who don't vote have no right to criticize. And I can kind of identify with that because there have been plenty of times I've felt like saying to somebody who's criticizing, say, the president of the day, did you vote in the last election? And if they say no, then I'll tell them to shut the fuck up. I never have, but I've certainly been tempted more than once. So for an expat, there's a bit of tightrope walking because there are some people who have a probably unexamined attitude toward people from outside the U.S. criticizing the U.S. They probably react more strongly to foreigners who do it. But nevertheless, if somebody's outside the U.S., in to all practical terms, a lot of people just think of them as foreigners, rightly or wrongly. That's just how they kind of perceive them. Now, I have another issue with that as well, because the United States dominates the world in a way, in ways that probably certainly no other country at the moment does, economically and militarily and culturally and all this other stuff. And it's almost like the U.S. calls the tune that the Pipers are playing. And so all countries in the world are affected one way or another by what the U.S. does. And I think that gives everybody in the world a right to criticize the U.S. Again, nobody has to agree with them. Nobody has to even listen to them if they don't want to. But that doesn't take away the right to criticize them because they're the biggest thing in town. And, you know, you get to comment on what the biggest thing in town is doing, I think. But getting back to the expat thing, because that's really the point of the segment, and that's the point of this. I think that expats need to be aware that when you move outside of your homeland, people back home will not like hearing the bad things that you might want to say. They might not even want to hear you talk about anything about your homeland at all, except maybe, you know, reminiscences of growing up and lazy summer afternoons. I don't know. And it's something to be aware of. Now, I certainly would not advocate that anybody censor themselves, although I did. When I started my blog, did I mention it was 5 years ago this week? I almost deliberately avoided talking about the U.S. about U.S. politics or criticizing anybody or anything. This was during the middle of the Bush years. This was just before the 2006 midterm elections, where the Democrats took control of the House. And so there's a lot of anti-Bush sentiment and all that. And originally, and I was never a fan of George W. Bush at any point. But I didn't criticize him at first. I didn't criticize anybody at first because I was aware of that kind of attitude. And I was a little bit worried about offending people unnecessarily. Of course, nowadays, I'll offend them left, right, and center. No, I just decided that I didn't want to go there. I didn't want to bring up this. I didn't want to stir the pot. And also, I didn't want to deal with a lot of really negative comments from people saying, how dare you say that sort of thing. But then eventually I realized that it was kind of like being closeted all over again because I wasn't sharing the real me and I wasn't sharing, you know, everything about me. And politics is part of who I am, which gets to another point about Vera's segment specifically. I talk about politics because it is central to my being. I am more interested in politics than any other subject. And it's not just American politics. It's New Zealand and Canada and Australia and the UK, wherever. I am fascinated by the way that governments run, that governments are organized, and the way they operate through the political system. And I've been a political activist in the past, which is basically my interest in politics made practical. And it's what I studied in university. I have a bachelor's degree in political science with a minor in history. So all of this stuff is right up my alley, and it's why I'm so fascinated by all of this stuff and why I write about it so much and talk about it, why I've got a separate podcast that's virtually nothing but politics, all because of this interest that is central to my being. And so that's why I talk about it. And again, as I see it, the reasons why I'm able to are because it's my birthright as an American citizen and also the fact that I'm a voter. And all of that says to me that I have the right to do that, whether anybody likes it or not, is kind of really none of my concern. But when I was looking at this, I was in this topic, when I was thinking about it, I was looking up things about patriotism that people had said. And one of the most famous that I always think about, or often think about, is Samuel Johnson's famous quote that patriotism is the last refuge of the scoundrel. And that was quoted by Boswell in his Life of Samuel Johnson. And Johnson was talking about false patriotism, and that quote was always in my mind a lot when I was seeing some of the shenanigans over the healthcare reform debate in the U.S. And that quote was frequently in my mind. There, some of the people, especially people on Twitter, are how do I want to put this nicely? They're not rational in their patriotism. They fall back on the slogan that I used to see all the time during the Vietnam War, which was "My country, right or wrong," but the thing is that there's a semicolon after that, and the rest of it says "if right to be kept right, and if wrong to be set right," and it's about the duties of a citizen to make sure the country lives up to its ideals and is the best it can be. It's not that you have this blind love and loyalty to your country no matter what. It's that you have a loyalty and love for your country so much so that you will work to make it right. And that's sort of a digression. That's actually interesting because the person who said that was a guy named Carl Schurz, who was the first German-born American elected to the United States Senate. So he was an expat who said that. He was later Secretary of the Interior under President Rutherford B. Hayes. And actually, his wife founded the first kindergarten in the United States. Isn't that interesting? So I'm going to actually talk about him in my blog because I find that whole thing fascinating. But he's the one who that quote is attributed to. And he also had a lot to say about expats who had a responsibility to keep their connections to their homeland alive for a variety of reasons. And I don't know. I don't have any personal knowledge whether he criticized his homeland or not, but I wouldn't be surprised if he didn't. I would be surprised if he didn't, because he was one of they call them the 48ers, and they were American immigrants from Europe who arrived after the revolutions of 1848, and most of them were relatively well-to-do. They were intellectuals and so on. They weren't like ordinary immigrants, and so if he didn't have anything to say about his homeland, I'd be very, very surprised to learn that. But anyway, and then the last quote that is relevant to all of this is the one that's attributed to Voltaire, which is, "I disapprove of what you say, but I will defend to the death your right to say it," which is especially interesting since Voltaire didn't say it. The closest that he actually said was, "Think for yourselves and let others enjoy the privilege to do so too." The quote was actually from somebody who wrote a book about Voltaire, and he didn't actually say it. Now, how many podcasts do you know that will have references to Samuel Johnson, Boswell, an obscure U.S. senator from the late 19th century, and Voltaire all in one podcast? You just don't get that kind of quality anywhere. Anyway. That's basically what I wanted to say about it. So when I heard Vera's show, one of the first things I thought to myself was, oh, God, I hope people don't think that I'm going to be upset by this, because I wasn't at all. I've encountered the attitude that he was expressing. I felt the attitude that he is expressing, the how dare they talk about my ex this way, you know, my town, my country, my family, whatever. Well, they wouldn't talk about my family that way. But you get what I'm saying, that I'm not was never upset with Vera for sharing that feeling. And if anything, I'm sort of grateful that he talked about it, because it gave me the opportunity to mention it here and about how it's something that expats should be aware of. Now, on to the next thing, which is about prepositions. I got a couple of things of feedback on Twitter about prepositions. And the first was from Test Pattern, who said, I think that's how you say it. There's only one T in pattern. Test Pattern. Anyway, who is an American expat in Christchurch. She said that, what about New Zealand buses that read not on service, whereas U.S. buses usually read not in service? And that's an interesting one, because I've never seen that in Auckland. They very well could say that, and I just don't notice it anymore, because there are a lot of things I don't notice now that I've been here so long. But my feeling is that it must be something unique to there, because I just think the only thing I've seen the buses say here, and I actually think it's kind of funny, is it'll say sorry in big letters where the route designation would normally be. And I just find that hilarious, because it's like the bus is apologizing, like, sorry, I'm leaving you standing at the corner of the rain. I'm sorry. And but maybe it does say not in service. Next time I'm in Auckland CBD, I'm going to pay more attention, because I'm more likely to see buses there, and I'll report back later. And Corplane, who's from Canada, says, two differences I've noticed between UK-US is at the weekend versus on the weekend. Also, UK agrees something, US agrees to something. The first one is true here as well. People will say at the weekend instead of on the weekend. I don't know about the agrees something. I haven't heard that one myself. But a lot of New Zealand English has been changing in recent years to more of a U.S. style of English. Even the spellings, some of the spellings are starting to change. I think I may have mentioned this in the past. One of the most obvious to me is that a lot of people are starting to refer to the bathroom, meaning the room where the toilet is, and which is a very, very not New Zealand thing to say. Most people would say, I'm going to the toilet. You know, they just, when I first came to New Zealand nearly 16 years ago, I had another anniversary this week. It was the 16th anniversary of when I first arrived in New Zealand as a tourist. I wasn't living here yet. I was just sort of checking the place out and see if Nigel and I really wanted to be together. But that was this week as well, on the 12th. Anyway, one of the things that struck me about it when I came to New Zealand is people would just say, I'll be right back, I'm just running to the toilet. And that just took me aback, because to my American ears, one doesn't say such things. I didn't say that. I couldn't say that. So I used to say, I'm just going to run to the loo, which to me just was a little more nicer. And but as I said, increasingly people refer to the bathroom, even if they're referring, if they really mean the one little room where the toilet is, as so many New Zealand houses have even now. So those are a couple things. But on that subject, I have a phone message.
Hi, Arthur. It's Bank here. Just responding to your latest podcast, you had been talking about prepositions and how they differed between the US and New Zealand, and I came up with a couple of examples that occurred to me. One is, in America, you would quite happily say that you were going to write someone, meaning you would write a letter and send it to them, or whatever, whereas in New Zealand, I think you have to say that you're going to write to somebody. It just doesn't sound right unless you have the to in there. And then another one is, well, a whole lot of time prepositions seem to me to be different. One that jumps to mind is, when I first came to the U.S., somebody suggested I meet them at 9:45, and I had no idea what that meant. And in New Zealand, you would always say 9:45. You would never use of. So there's a couple of examples that occur to me, and I'll look forward to your next podcast. Bye.
Well, thank you for that, Banksy. I told you that other people would probably have more of an idea about that than I would, but those are very good examples, and you're absolutely right. In New Zealand, you would say that you're going to write to someone and not just write someone. And the time thing is even more interesting than that for me. And this isn't about prepositions so much, but when I first started working going to work and all that, some of my coworkers were saying things like, I'm going to be meeting them at 5:30. And I had no friggin' idea what they were talking about. Half five, what? Is that half 30 minutes until five, 30 minutes after five? What does that mean? And to this day, it still confuses me. I think it means 5:30, but I'm not really positive. But that's not directly related. That's just kind of a usage sort of thing. But anyway, thanks very much for the call, Bank. And those are good examples. And I may return to this again in the future, as I said last time I talked about it. But I did want to share what others have said so far in case I don't remember, because that's entirely likely these days. But now, switching subjects to just to regular comments, let's go on with the next one from Roger Green.
Hi, Arthur. This is Roger. I applaud you not being available for other people's podcasts on the weekends or whatever time you want to carve out for yourself or for you and Nigel. You know, you got to set limits. That's all I got to say. Take care. Bye.
Well, thanks for that, Roger. And yeah, I'm quite happy with that decision. As I said, it's a feeling, the policy or whatever you call it, that I used to have before. And I just think you need to have some limits, as you said. And I think you need to have some boundaries. And so that's one that I came up with. But now I have one more phone message, and it's from Tom the Ramble Redhead.
Hey, Arthur, this is Tom, a.k.a. the Ramble Redhead. Just want to give you a quick call to let you know that I'm on the way to the Chicago's to get on my flight tomorrow to go to Las Vegas. And I called Big Fatty earlier, and I just have to say that I'm so excited about doing this. And I just wanted to give you a quick call to say thank you for your part in what you did to help this shindig get going and helping to the scheduling on the non-Vegas stuff. And I just want to say thank you for all your other stuff you do. You are a wonderful guy, and you know I love you. And it was a pleasure to be the only one that got to meet you of all the podcasters. But I know that if you could, you'd be in Las Vegas with all of us, having a little few cocktails and having fun and jubilating with us if you could. And I hope that one day I'll get to see you again and Mr. Nigel and all that. And I just want to thank you for all your wonderful shows, your wonderful friendships, and all your help in making Pride 48 what it is today. So here's to the future of that, and may it continue to grow and grow and grow and all that good stuff. So anyway, I'm going to go. I'm rambling. But remember, as people say, if I'm doing this DN, people think I'm sick. So make sure you go check out my show, RambleRedhead.com. All right, bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Aw, thank you, Tom. Tom is a really great guy, and if you haven't checked out his show, RambleRedhead.com, you really should. He does a lot of really interesting interviews, including one with me a long time ago. But that's not why I'm recommending him. No, he is, of course, the only podcaster I've ever met in real life. Have I mentioned that? I don't know if I have. At any rate, it did occur to me, however, that, and I mentioned this sort of roundabout way before, that because all of these podcasters are going to be meeting Tom in Las Vegas, that means that they're all going to be one degree of separation from me. So in a way, we're all connected now, or will be. No, related to Pride 48, let's see, which do I want to say first? We did want to go this year. The fates didn't allow. They didn't arrange themselves in a fortuitous way to allow us to attend. And I've been feeling particularly, well, sad about that today, because I've been seeing tweets from people on their way to Las Vegas, and they're all excited, and I'm really sad that I'm not there, and I wish I was. I wish I could be, but it wasn't to be. However, Nigel and I have committed to going to the U.S. next year, probably somewhere around this time. I said to Daniel Brewer and to Big Fatty that one thing that I very much want to see come out of the they're going to sit down and talk about the future of Pride 48 and so on there. One thing I personally very much wanted to see come out of that was the selection of the date for next year, because we're probably going to try to plan our trip around that so that one way or another we can attend next year. And so that's the plan. Whether it actually works out that way or not, I don't know. But that's what we would like to do. And I'll certainly be talking about that more in future episodes it's particularly as we start to get the itinerary sorted out, because we'll be at various places and we'll try to do some meetups so that anybody in the area who wants to come and meet us will be able to do that. And we'd love to meet locals in the various towns that we visit along the way. But that topic's for another day. About this Pride 48, it is this weekend, September 16, 17, and 18, starting at 7 p.m. Eastern on Friday with the pink carpet. I'm in the opening show, which is after that at 8 p.m. Well, if they can use Skype, I'll be on that. And my own show, my live Amryn's show on Pride 48, will be for 1 hour on Sunday, September 18 at 5 p.m. Eastern time, which is 9 a.m. Monday here, so I hope I can pull it together. At this point, I have no idea what I'm going to do. I had thought if anybody had some questions that they wanted me to address, I could do it live. I don't know if I'm going to actually do that or not, but it was a thought. So if there's something that you would like to know about New Zealand that you don't already, ask me. Or if there's something that you would like people to know about the U.S., by all means, mention that too. But that is it for today. That is it for this week. I'm going to be a busy boy this weekend with Pride 48. Now, at the conclusion of this, I'm just going to put a little thing I recorded, a little promo I recorded for Pride 48, because we've been playing old music from the 1930s who are no longer in copyright. And so, but it's really old music and scratchy, and it's really unusual. We're playing it because it's mono instead of stereo. And so the server has to be mono for this weekend. And so it's just playing on rotation. And I recorded this little promo so that people would know what was going on. And the one that I'm going to play for you is the one to basically let people know why they're hearing this strange music all of a sudden. And then after that, it's just my normal close off, and that's it. So have a great weekend, everybody. Stop by pride48.com and listen in. Bye. Has Pride 48 entered a time warp? No, we're just getting ready for the big podcasting extravaganza live from Las Vegas, Nevada, and places throughout the world. Join us this weekend, September 16, 17, and 18, right here on Pride 48. You can leave a comment on this or any other episode of the Amryn's Podcast at amrynspodcast.com. You can send an email to me at Arthur, that's A-R-T-H-U-R, at amrynspodcast.com, or you can ring my U.S. comment line on 206-666-5172. This podcast is produced and distributed under Creative Commons license. Complete details at the website.